May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
I will leave this place and go to my Maker. Have mercy upon me, O God, after thy great goodness. According to the multitude of thy mercies, do away my offenses. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. I will leave this place and go to my Make in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I will leave this place and go to my Give me the comfort of thy help again, and establish me with thy free spirit. Then shall I teach thy ways unto the wicked, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I will leave this place and go to my
Our gospel lesson this morning is from the gospel according to John, the 6th chapter, verses 24 through 35. Hear now the words of the gospel. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, Truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? And Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it was written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, friends. It is indeed a real pleasure to be back with you in Westwood. When Pastor Molly asked me to preach and mentioned that it had been 5 years since I was here, it was a little hard to believe. Much has changed in my life, as I'm sure it has for all of you. And of course, one of the challenges associated with coming back is the reality that you heard me preach for 13 years. And I'm not sure that there is a theological thought that I haven't already shared with you. In my current work, I don't preach very often. And I have 3 traveling sermons. But that's a problem, since you've heard all 3 of them. So I suppose I should thank Molly for giving me the opportunity to practice the spiritual discipline of writing a new sermon. And that's not something I do very often these days. I would love to be here today to talk about how the world has morphed into something that is looking more and more like God's realm. I would love to be talking about how justice is now prevailing everywhere that we look. But when I look at the world around us, there is still chaos. There is unrest and a good deal of concern about the state of our nation. So in many respects, over 5 years, not much has changed. But as I looked at the text for today, one of Jesus' familiar "I am" sayings, I find great comfort in the fact that the scripture and the gospel have not changed. What has changed is the way it speaks to me, and I hope today the way it speaks to you, because our understanding is that we are part of a living tradition with our sacred texts, a marvelous part of that, of something that changes and morphs every time we read them and experience them. So will you pause with me now for a moment of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock, our salvation, our Savior. Amen. I'm sure it is no surprise to those of you who know me that I am a big fan of the Great British Baking Show. I've watched every single season, even those ones you have to go onto Roku in order to find them. I've watched them with rapt attention as the contestants spend their weekends being wonderfully nice to each other. And as we know, that's a real rarity in reality television. While they attempt whatever baked creation is part of the current challenge. There have been a number of personalities who have rotated through the program as presenters or as judges, but it is Paul Hollywood who has been a constant and whose looming presence puts contestants on edge, wondering if they did it right or not. And while expert in all things baked, he has a special proficiency when it comes to the subject of bread, the downfall of many a contestant on the show, the dreaded words, "your bread is underproved," can bring even the most stoic contestants to tears. Fans of the show have seen all manners of bread, whether it be pita or fougasse or focaccia, baguette, naan, cottage loaves, ciabatta, just to name a few. All manner of fillings and herbs and spices and grains can be part of the preparation. And in its own way, the show celebrates the great variety that is a staple of every culture around the world. Just how ingrained bread is in our lives. Yet for something that is seen by many as a basic sustenance, bread is getting a real bad rap these days because of carbohydrates. Many diets now view it as evil, and almost every restaurant menu features lettuce wrap so that bread can be avoided. I even find myself, especially when going out for breakfast, being asked the question by the server, "What kind of bread would you like today?" And my frequent response these days is, "I think I will skip the bread. I think I will skip the bread. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." That was what an exasperated Jesus said to those who were in absolute overdrive trying to follow him that day to Capernaum. The writer of John's Gospel places this passage in the midst of quite a series of events. There had been the feeding of the 5,000, where the miracle of the loaves and fishes took place, and that was followed by the crowd wanting to take Jesus by force, and make him king. Well, Jesus and his disciples chose to escape by boat. And in that process, when we look at the gospel, we find that they encountered a rough sea. And Jesus, as we are told, walked on water, causing his disciples a great deal of consternation and terror. And the persistent crowds found him a couple of days later, and he spoke to them, reminding this group that he had previously fed, about God's providence, going all the way back to the desert wanderings of the Hebrew people and the manna, their daily bread, which provided the nourishment which they needed to survive. This bread of sorts, according to the ancient story, which was life-giving. Jesus, by saying, "I am the bread of life," further injected himself into that narrative. He intimated to the people that there was a bread which was even more important than the kind which could assuage the pangs of hunger. There was a bread that could sustain hope, a bread that would create connectedness to God, if you will. When we share at the Eucharist, which we will later this morning, we are living into that idea that Christ is the bread of life, working within each of us to transform, to meld, and to make us into God's children who yearn to be agents of peace, of hope, of justice, and of inclusion to a world so in need of a different narrative. Yet all too often, it seems that Christianity nowadays is at the order table saying, "I think we will skip the bread that is Jesus." I was having a conversation a few days ago during which the person I was talking to suggested that we really might be better off if organized religion just faded away. I, of course, trying not to bristle, suggested that for me, a world without religion would probably be an even worse scenario because of what religion at its best provides for us the power to create transformative community, the ability to help persons change their narrative, the audacity to believe and to celebrate that we are all God's children, all created in the image of God. That's powerful stuff. That's history-changing stuff. That's a dough, if you will, that you really want to need and get your fingers into. But at the same time, I had to agree that I could not ignore the atrocities which can directly be laid at the feet of religion. And it really is not necessary for us to recite the list. We are all well too aware of what has happened in the past, what that kind of religion still contains, and what, unfortunately, some might wish it still would contain. I would also have to acknowledge that for many, their assumptions about Christianity are more and more based on this emerging Christian nationalism, which is deep at work in our nation. To be blunt, the Christian nationalism at work in this country and the way it has historically emerged in different times and places is a Christianity which is devoid of the bread of life. It is devoid of Jesus. It is a perversion of the gospel. Oh yes, the banner of Jesus may be flown, but it is a banner that has nothing or little to do with the first century radical who preached a message that was world-changing and was life-changing. A message which says that character and values actually matter. A message that says how we treat one another matters. A message that says how we use our resources and share our resources actually matters. A message which elevates hospitality and welcoming the stranger in our midst. It is a message. A message that is the antithesis of an exclusionary, short-sighted, politically expedient, mean-spirited kind of supposed Christianity that we, unfortunately, are starting to see writ large. This is the point in which I will repeat myself saying something I said here a number of years ago, that I no longer call myself a Christian. Instead, I celebrate the fact and I call myself a follower of Jesus. So much of the baggage that is attached to Christianity just needs to be left behind on a luggage carousel and forgotten, because the endless spinning around is really the only thing for which that kind of Christianity is suited. Christianity without Jesus simply makes no sense. And I would have to agree, it is something the world does not need. Friends, if there was ever a time that you and I needed the bread of life that is Jesus, it is now. The lettuce wrap is not going to cut it. The bread of life represents transformative love and power. The stuff from which profound change can emerge. We've all seen that happen. When the bread of life is central to our life and to our faith, that is the walk to which you and I are called to be a part of. When Jesus is central to us, we adopt a different way of being. One which acknowledges that life is communal, that it is not all about me. When Jesus is central to our being, We care. We deeply care about how we treat others, and we speak out against injustice. When the bread of life is real to us, that's how God becomes real to others. In a world where there's plenty of bad news, Jesus still represents amazing good news. He is the bread that is sustaining, that is life-giving, and one that I do not wish to pass up. What do you think?